What up, everybody? Hello, hello, hello. How is everyone out there? Question rhetorical. Welcome to the 30th episode of the Poppin' Questions Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Zen. I know it's been a long time. It's been, what? I'm looking at my computer right now. It says March 8th is the last time that we aired the Poppin' Questions podcast, and it is March 29th today, so over 20 days, and I really do apologize for that, but as everybody who reads UntilIGetMarried.com knows, I've been going through a lot of personal things lately, a lot of them just, you know, very abstract stuff dealing with, you know, life and trying to understand and the new phase and the new direction that I'm going into in my life and reassessing everything and the choices that I've made and the choices that I will make in the future. And you know what it was? And I'm not going to riff on this too long, so just bear with me, but I've come to a point for the first time in my life where I really didn't know what direction I wanted to go in, where I was legitimately lost, and I've never had that feeling. I mean, I've always been the type of person, I applied to one college, shout out to Howard University, but I mean, I knew where I wanted to go to college. I knew I wanted to live in New York since I was like in sixth grade. In sixth grade, I knew where I wanted to go to. Like, I've always kind of known exactly where I wanted my moves to take me. And for the first time in my life, I didn't know. And I needed to take a break because I was just working with this blind fury and working for the sake of, you know, for all the reasons why people normally work, putting food on the table and clothes on the back and roof over the head, but not really taking the time to understand what the moves that I was making meant in the larger sense. And I needed to step back and gain some perspective. So that's what I've been doing. I'm still doing it. I'm trying to change things up on the blog. The blog is not my 9-to-5, and I was treating it not like my 9-to-5, and I think that was something that started to not sit well with me, so I'm trying to have a more freestyle approach to it and not letting myself get ruled by a schedule. So, yeah, a break was necessary, but I'm back. I'm back. I'm going to be back in a new way. I'm going to be back in a different way. Truth be told, you might see less blog posts than you usually do throughout the week. It's probably not going to be the once a day, every day, 5 days a week type of regimen that I was keeping up. It might be something different. The podcast is going to remain. I'm going to try to do it 2 days a week because this is easy. This is way easier than writing. So I'm going to try to stick to the schedule of twice a week with the Poppin' Questions podcast. All that being said, quick reminder for those who have been listening for a while and forgot the format of the show. It's basically me taking 5 questions from my FormSpring account, anonymous questions. It's you can hit me at FormSpring, FormSpring.me/JoeZenC. That's where you send me a question. FormSpring does not reveal the identity, the IP addresses, none of that of the people who sent the questions unless they choose to. But even if they do choose to and I choose their question to put on air, I don't reveal their identity. You could also email me feedback@untiligetmarried.com and send me your question there. Once again, I keep your identity hidden, anonymous. I don't reveal it. And I am trying to do a better job of, even when people send me questions, answering those questions or at least responding them and saying, hey, this question is going to be on a future edition of the Poppin' Questions podcast. Thank you very much for your for your question. I have a couple of those ready to go. I don't think they're going to be on this they're not on this episode, but they will be in future episodes. So if you sent me a question and I told you that it was going to be on the show, trust and believe it is. So let's get right into it. These are the five questions. I've gotten a lot of questions since I've been on the hiatus, so I'm trying to get through all of them, but here's five of them. And yeah, let's get right into it. The first question is, what is your perspective on women proposing to men? I think that it's perfectly acceptable for a woman to propose to a man should she feel strongly about it. But she better be able to get the no. You know, I think it's all about what you're able to handle. The question is not just should you or should you not propose to a man. If you want to propose to your man, then propose to your man. But if you do propose to your man, are you able to handle the answer? I mean, I kind of feel like when it comes to marriage, people always say if a man wants you, he'll be with you. That's not necessarily true. Plenty of men don't go after all of the women that they want. But if a man wants to get married, I've seen men who want to get married. And when they want to get married, there is a lot of focus put into that. So I kind of feel like with marriage, it's not something that a woman needs to put on a man. It's something that a man wants to do, and when a man wants to do it, he will do it. He will go out, he will get that ring, he will set up a proposal, he'll do all the things that are necessary. Once a man's mind is made up in that respect, the woman just has to sit back and wait for the question to be popped. That being said, I would caution you on proposing to a man. And just know that if you're in a position where you feel like it's necessary for you to propose to your man, that is probably because your man has no plans to propose to you, and therefore you need to be ready for him to say no. And I honestly do believe if he says yes, you will always wonder why he never asked if he was going to accept the proposal in the first place. Did he accept it only because you asked? I mean, that's taking a lead on a situation that is just setting you up for a whole lot of questions. So you really have to be careful and take the time to think about what you're going to do when he answers yes or no. I hope that helps, and good luck. I guess my only other question is how the ring thing goes. Like, I know men don't really do an engagement ring. But I did talk about this in a post, and I forgot what the tradition is called. There's a tradition out there where after a man proposes to a woman gets him some kind of gift. I've always said that if I propose to a woman, I want her to get me a dog, like a big dog, like a pit bull. I don't know why, but that's what I want my fiance to get me. Kind of, I don't know, but that's my thing. And like I said, it's some sort of tradition. Maybe somebody will be able to clear it up in the comments when a woman gets a man something after he proposes to her. But if a woman proposes to a man, I don't know what he gets. What he gets. Does he get a ring? Does she just put her ring on? If it's a matter of you propose to a man, and that means you also buy your engagement ring, I would definitely encourage you to do that, and I would encourage more women to do that. But in any case, good luck, and let me know how that goes, assuming that you're going to do such a thing. Next question comes from a woman that says, this is question number two. My guy and I have an awesome relationship. Everything is perfect, except his mom hates me. No idea why. He says that she's just very overprotective of him and grew close to his ex. I don't care that she likes his ex. I just wish she would accept me. How can I win her over? Well, you can win her over by just sticking around long enough to prove that you're no fluky girlfriend, that you're not just the next girl in his life, that you're there to stay. I don't know how long you two have been together. I don't know if you and your boyfriend have been together longer than him and the ex have been together. But I do know this, that if you haven't been in the picture quite as long as the ex-girlfriend was in the picture, you're not going to get any kind of approval until you're around longer than the ex-girlfriend was around. So you have to give yourself time and just prove that you're there to stay and that you're not there to hurt your boyfriend, her son, and she'll eventually warm up to you. She'll submit to the fact that, hey, you're not going anywhere. And if you're not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere. You know, she can't do anything about that, and she has to like you. If it's really a problem, though, and it's really a bad situation, and it's a relationship that you take seriously, and it's a relationship that your boyfriend takes seriously, then you have to talk to your boyfriend about it, and you have to tell him to talk to his mother on your behalf. And tell him that he needs to talk to her and say, you know, hey, like, can you just tell your mom to, like, lighten up a little bit, because I don't think that she likes me. It makes me uncomfortable to go over to her place. And I need your help. I need you to have my back. But if you haven't been around long enough, then this is kind of not an issue yet. You have to wait until you're around, at least as long as the ex-girlfriend that she likes was around. And then once you've done your time, once you've been in a relationship for at least that long, and you find that she still has a problem with you, or you sense that she still has a problem with you, then you can start making demands. Then you can start really putting in an effort to fix that relationship and build that relationship into something that is more cordial and more friendly. And the other thing is, I don't know the context under which you met the mother. You know, I honestly believe this, that a mother only loves her son's girlfriend as much as he does. So you have to pay attention to the way that your boyfriend is representing you to his mother. Pay attention to that. Understand that dynamic. He can only get away with the whole she's protective of me and things like that. I mean, my mom's protective of me, and my mom cares about me a lot. My mom takes seriously the women that I take seriously. If it's a woman that I don't take seriously, my mom doesn't take her seriously. And I don't expect her to. So my mom basically cares about a girl as much as I care about a girl. When I was living with my ex-girlfriend, my mom had my ex-girlfriend's number. My mom, like, talked to her and just her. And they kind of got close. So, you know, it's one of those things where that was a reflection of how close I was to my ex-girlfriend. And so... Right now, you got to take the time to assess where your relationship is at, and then wait and until it gets to a place where you are certain that his mother, your boyfriend's mother, is going to have to come around, because you're not going anywhere. Good luck with that. Let me know how that goes. Question number 3, I meant to say this at the very beginning of the show. There are moments in the show where things can get lewd and graphic and downright disgusting. That doesn't mean that I won't answer the question. I'm going to answer this question. I would like to warn you, if you're listening to this at work right now and you don't have headphones, you might want to turn this portion of the show down or off and wait till you can listen to it in the privacy of your own home. I also want to tell my mom and any of members of my family who are listening to the show, I am sorry that... that I'd rather you just fast forward over this portion, because it's gross. This question is gross. But I'm going to answer it anyways. The question is, and it's not even the most unusual question of the week. That's coming on Thursday. So this just lets you know what kind of questions I've been getting lately. The question is, I'm thinking about trying anal sex with a guy I'm dating for the first time. It's his first time, too. How do I bring up the subject and make him comfortable enough to go through with it? Anal sex. Let's talk about it, folks. Here's what it is. It is always better as an idea than an actual act. That is just a fact No rhyme intended there. It is always better as an idea. Okay? Always. That being said, you do not actually discuss this before you do it. You do not plan it before you do it. If you want to do it, you prepare yourself to do it, the possibility of doing it, but you don't ask for it before clothes are off, before sex is taking place. It has to be somewhat spontaneous. Not completely spontaneous, though, because, yeah, I think we all know why it can't be completely spontaneous. If you want it, just prepare yourself to be able to go through with it if it gets to that point. But things need to get hot, heated, very passionate, so passionate that you're not even thinking with the right mind anymore, and you're just making these decisions based on all the freaking, like, you know, just a rush of sex that you're having at that time. Does that make sense? Do not talk about it. Do not bring it up to your boyfriend. It makes people uncomfortable to talk about. It's nothing that you really want to... You just want to do it kind of like in the spur of the moment, like it just kind of happens. And I'm not meaning like by complete accident. I'm just saying that it's not as deliberate as, oh, okay, we're going to talk about anal sex and then we're going to go in the room and try anal sex. No, it's just something that you have to be completely down for. He has to be all charged up and like just the carnal instincts got to take over. You guys got to be thinking with a different kind of brain. You can't have a civil conversation and then go into the bedroom and do uncivil things with each other. You have to be in the midst of doing uncivil things with each other and then do it. And then afterwards, when, you know, all your good sense comes back, that's when you're going to realize that it was way better as an idea. And you're going to run immediately to the shower and all that stuff is going to happen. Because you're going to be back to thinking in your right mind and you're going to say, you know what, we should, you know, with that, I don't know how. Even if it feels good, it's still like, you know, so it's one of those things and you might even swear like, nope, we're not doing that again. We're not doing that again. And then who knows, another night, too much to drink, go at it again. It's crazy. And guess what? You're doing it again. So, you know, don't worry about, oh, it's your first time, it's my first time, overthinking it. This is not something that you overthink. This is not even something that you really want to think about. You just want to prepare yourself for it. You want to go in the room. You want to things get as nasty and freaky and out of control as possible. And then at that point, it may be able to happen. I wish you best of luck with that. Enjoy it safely, and I would say let me know how it goes, but I kind of don't want to know, but I hope this advice helps. Question number 4, this is kind of deep, folks. This woman says, so I found out my sister slept with the guy I used to date. Guy that she used to date ended because he did her dirty. How do I let it go? I just can't believe that she knew that he hurt me and did not feel enough loyalty to not mess with him. What if it was your best friend? How would you handle it? Because you asked me what if it was my best friend. I get the feeling that it's not your real sister that did this to you. It's just a girl that felt like your sister that you were such close friends with that you called her your sister. Now, if it was your real sister who slept with the guy that she used to date, I'm going to tell you this story. I went to high school with these two twins. And one of the twins was dating the two male twins. And one of the twins was dating a girl. And the girl slept with the guy's twin brother. The guy whose girl it was dumped the girl. And I asked him, I said, yo, you're not mad at your brother? And he was like, no, it's my brother. It's my blood. I'm mad at the girl. She should have known better. I say all that to say, you're getting mad at the wrong person, okay? I understand your sister probably shouldn't have done that. But, you know, I never really got into the psychology of why the twins did what they did. But I've heard of this. I know men that will do this to their best friends. You know, when their best friend is messing with a guy. Sorry. When the best friend is messing with a girl that everybody looks at as somebody that you can't trust, and we're trying to tell the guy, look, man, like, you're my boy. I'm trying to tell you this girl, she can't be trusted. You don't want to mess with her. Some guys will go so far to prove that to their best friends, will go so far as to, like, actually make advances towards that woman and sleep with that woman. And they'll, you know, get some sort of proof that they did and present it to their friend and say, look, dude, I told you. If this girl was really about you, if this girl was really a girl that you could trust and we could see you with, she wouldn't have done that. Your sister, okay, your sister, I'm assuming it's your sister, if not, it's your best friend, you know, just kind of showed how dirty this dude really is. Blood is thicker than water. The relationship that you have with your sister, that's blood. Don't let the water drown it out. You shouldn't be able to drown it out. You should be able to move past this. And just look at that dude. And however much you despise him even more. And just be like, dude, like, you're, you know, maybe we could have been friends in the future, but you're officially dead to me. You cannot let this damage your relationship, especially if the dude wasn't even in your life like that anymore. If he wasn't even your boyfriend, you two weren't dating. I mean, how serious were you two dating in the first place? I mean, if it was a deep, deep relationship, I understand this is wrong, but this just further proves how shady, how wrong, how whatever negative term you want to use to describe that dude, this just further proves that to be true. But your anger, and some people will disagree with me, your anger is misplaced, okay? Direct it towards the person that's outside of the bond that you two share. Direct it at that person, because if you two were dating seriously, then he knew how close you and your sister were, you and your best friend were, whatever the nature of that relationship is. He knew about that relationship. He obviously didn't care. And since you're asking me, a man, how would a man handle it? A man would move on. I don't think he would cut off his boys sooner than he would cut off the girl. You know? If anything, he bitter pill to swallow, but once he swallowed it, he'd tell his boys, look, I appreciate you looking out for me like that. I was about to get myself into a situation with an individual that obviously I can't trust. It's a hard hit to take, but you take the hit, you get knocked down, you dust yourself back up, you dust yourself off, you dap your boy back up, and you two move along in life, in life as friends. You should do the same with your girl. All right? Let me know how that goes, assuming you take my advice. Last question, folks. Question number 5 of the 30th episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. Is a deep question, a serious question. Do you believe that an isolated, undocumented incident of domestic violence in a man or woman's past relationship should be a reason to stop dating him or her? I'm going to answer your question as not from the perspective of a woman. You know, I know you try to balance it out by applying it to both genders. But let's just talk about you as a woman dating a man who may have an undocumented incident of domestic violence. First things first, it depends on how you find out about that incident, okay? If it's a situation in which he was forthright and he said, look, I did this at one point in my life, and I'm, I want to tell you because I don't want you to find out any other way. Maybe, you know, maybe you two are dating and circles are close and he knows, he's aware of that reputation that's following him, and he's aware that it could get back to you through other people. So he wants to be the first to tell you. He wants to talk about it with you. Or he told you about it in the sense like, you know, he got into an argument one night with his girl, with an ex-girl, and things got ugly and that's what happened. You know, if he's just being honest and forthright, it depends on how uncomfortable that makes you as to whether or not you should date him. You should never date somebody that you're afraid of. But so if he's somebody that you're afraid of simply because he told you about this thing that happened in the past, this incident that happened in the past, then don't date him. You don't want to date anybody that you're afraid of. That's just not going to turn into a good relationship. Now, if it's another situation in which you did not find out through him, but you found out, let's say you're dating Chris Brown, okay? And everybody knows, you even know going into that situation that this man has laid his hands on women in the past. Then, you know, yeah, you shouldn't even be dating him in the first place if you found out through any other means but his own mouth. Because that means he's trying to hide it, and I would say that, and I wouldn't say that he's going to do it again, but you have to be wary of anybody that's trying to hide that. I mean, some men are ashamed, so ashamed that they'll never do it again, and they promise themselves that they would never do it again. But, you know, when a man brings that up, you have to really have a discussion about it. You have to ask him, where did it come from? And you can't let him get away with it. You can't let him get away with not talking about it, especially if he brings it up. Because the fact of the matter is, he can't bring it up and expect you not to think about things, expect you not to have questions. You have the right to answer as many questions as you please until you feel comfortable enough with him again. But what you can't do is you cannot continue to be in a relationship and hold it against him. Like I said, you can't be in a relationship with him and fear him. You can't be in a relationship with him and think that every time he yells at you that he's going to go ahead and repeat the same sort of behavior. How comfortable are you? That is a question that you should ask. And then, once you figure that out, you can either continue to date him or you can stop dating him. Do I believe, though, that men can have these isolated incidents of rage to the point where they make a stupid decision and they actually lay their hands on a woman? Yes, I do. Do I believe that that makes a man prone to beating a woman in the future? No, I do not. I don't think that that sort of incident, no matter what people tell you, is influenced by a person's past, things that they've seen, whatever. I've seen it, and I never thought that that was acceptable. So, I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but what I'm trying to say is that some men will never do it. Some men will do it a lot and need help. And some men will do it once because they were immature or they were not in their right mind. And those men are difficult to get. Yeah, you don't know whether or not they'll ever do it again. But you know, you also don't know if a man that's never done it is never going to do it. Men make a lot of promises, and then they put themselves in certain situations, and then they act a way that they never thought they would act. You know, you have to understand, you have to be able to know the difference between what's in a person's character and what's in a person's, you know, and what was inside of a person within a moment of time, you know. For some men, it's not a matter of character. It was just an isolated incident that got out of control. And for other men, that's who they are. But that's why you have this deep layered conversation before you move any further. Once you find that information out, you need to talk about that, and you need to have a serious talk about that, and you need to have a serious talk about that with that person. And from that talk, from that discussion, gauge how comfortable you feel with them based on the things that they've told you. But ask a lot of questions, and hopefully you'll find your answer. All right? That's it, folks. That is the 30th episode of the Popping Questions podcast. I promise you I will be back on Thursday with 5 more questions and one more question, bonus question, the most unusual question of the week. I'm happy to be back. I hope you all are happy to have me back. And still be checking in, logging on to UntilIGetMarried.com. Hit me at forumspring.me/JoesAndC or feedback at UntilIGetMarried.com. for a question to be considered on a future episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. You all stay blessed and have a good one. Peace.